Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made of
another show. Well, yes, it's time to start talking Tony Awards, beginning with the good news that Tony, Emmy, and Grammy Award winner and three-time Oscar nominee Cynthia Erivo will host the 78th annual ceremony. P.S., she's also scheduled to play Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar at the Hollywood Bowl. That's another story. Other Broadway news of the week included Audra McDonald taking some gypsy time off for a few reasons. One was health-related, another family, I believe. I feel bad for the ticket buyers, but not as bad as I feel for our stage's heroic understudies. It's tough to win over a disappointed audience, but they often do. P.S., ticket buyers are warned in advance about any cast change like that. Other news, Goldie Hawn visited the Broadway show Death Becomes Her. She, of course, starred in the film. Glengarry Glen Ross has already extended its Broadway run ahead of its first preview, which is next month. And it appears yet another movie will be going to theater form, and that would be Coal Miner's Daughter, set to star, who else? The always relatable, ever-present Sutton Foster. And a new record was passed this week, and that's with the matinee performance on Saturday, last Saturday. Broadway's Book of Mormon played its 5,124th performance, passing Rent to become the 11th longest-running show in Broadway history. It's also still playing in London, by the way, where I was last year, and I was told it was the biggest moneymaker there. Anyway, there are clearly some very satisfied customers, and not to mention investors. So I saw a few shows this past week, starting with Grangeville at the always bustling Signature Complex on 42nd Street. Now this one, which has already been extended through mid-March, by the way, was written by Samuel D. Hunter. He's the man behind The Whale, which, of course, then went on to be an award-winning movie. This is a two-hander, a pair of half-brothers. The one may occasionally take on another persona, and they come together rather unexpectedly and take us with them down memory lane, sort of Cain and Abel-like. The two actors, Brian J. Smith and Paul Sparks, are first-rate, tough roles combining humor and pathos. The show is about an hour and a half, a tad slow going, and you may get a bit lost, but you're always hanging in. And then there was Liberation at Roundabout's Laura Pell's venue, yet another female-composed play, which has been my theme all season. Here, Bess Wohl is the writer. Now, this one is about the promise and never-quite-finished business of feminism. You could probably leave the guys at home, I might add. It's primarily a comedy, and the subject is really about mothers and daughters. One daughter in particular, who was exploring when her mom became part of a consciousness-raising group in a school rec center in Ohio in 1970. The seven actresses are all great. Betsy Adam, and never misses a key moment, as usual, playing very specific characters. There is a warning about nudity, and for good reason. Suffice to say, it is surprising and humorous and very brave. Now, one male does show up, by the way, who spends intermission shooting hoops. Anyway, I believe Liberation will be a hit. As for what's coming soon, well, there is the Larson Project about the man who wrote the aforementioned Rent and died tragically before he could enjoy its success. Yes, the new show is a collage of Jonathan Larson's life as told through his unproduced music, some of it written when he was as young as 22, and including songs that were cut from Rent and Tick, Tick, Boom. The production opens March 10th at the Orpheum Theater in the East Village. Primarily a tribute to Larson, the musical is also its own story, kind of a universal tale of an artist, any artist's struggle, surviving in an unforgiving city, plumbing the depths of lived experience to create something authentic, weathering rejection, et cetera, you get the picture. And keep an eye out for Georgie and the Butch. This is about a previously unexplored relationship between the great artist Georgia O'Keeffe and a mysterious young woman with whom she corresponded for 9 years. Anyway, that's called Georgie and the Butch, a two-character play. Actually, it's three because there's a narrator. That opened shortly off-Broadway. And here's an update on the politics meets art scene, which I've been discussing each week. Well, the Manhattan Theater Club's production of Eureka Day, which of course had a nice Broadway run, is among a number of canceled productions at the Kennedy Center following the Trump administration's recent takeover of that cultural institution. And one of the first signs of collective pushback to the administration's arts initiatives, several hundred American artists are calling on the National Endowment for the Arts to roll back the restrictions on grants to institutions with programming that promotes diversity, you know, wokeism, etc. Anyway, among the 463 writers, poets, dancers, visual artists, and others who signed the letter are the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwrights Jackie Sibley's Drury, Lynn Nottage, and Paula Vogel. Anyway, that battle is going to be going on for a while. It's just outside New York City, but the George Street Playhouse has meant a lot to folks over the decades. Well, it was just announced that its artistic director, David Saint, will retire at the conclusion of the 2024-25 season. He's been the artistic director of the Playhouse since 1997. I have not been there in person, but I did view a new piece they've done on Gilda Radner and Gene Wilder. Would not surprise me if we hear more on that one in the future, especially with all the hoopla over Saturday Night Live. Anyway, to David Saint, thank you for your service. I always want to acknowledge these people who spend their entire lives working in the theater. Anyway, the notable celebrity death, well, not theater per se, but she sure sold out many of them, that being singer Roberta Flack. So, of course, she's known for Killing Me Softly. Well, I happen to have played a role in that one. Bear with me here. My friend Lori Lieberman was making her first album in the 70s, and one of the songs turned out to be Killing Me Softly. It was based on her experience, singer Don McLean at the Troubadour in Los Angeles. Now, I confess, I'm the one who dragged her to that McLean show. Well, she ended up being so moved by the artist, she filled the napkin with her feelings. He sings as if he knows me, like he's read my diary, etc. Well, Lori's album did not do well, but Roberta Flack heard it on an airplane. And when she got off, she called her producers and said, I think I have my next record. Yep. Anyway, years later, when Lori Lieberman performed at Carnegie Hall, Roberta Flack invited her to her New York home just so they could finally meet in person. Ah, very touching memories. Anyway, enjoy your week. Send a few this week. I'll be talking about next time. See you then.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.